All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good Sunday school class. I remember Dad instructing us boys. Me, I was the youngest there, or the oldest. First one to Dad teach how to drive, and he was instructing me how to drive. And I was sitting on his lap. That's how little I was. And I was sitting on his lap, and I remember I could take you within 10 foot of the place. And I was driving along, and I noticed Dad's hand on the bottom of the steering wheel. And I said, "Dad, I want to drive. You know, take your hand off. I can drive this thing." I remember exactly where I was headed when Dad got a hold of the steering wheel and grabbed me back up. I could take you right to it. I'll have to drive up there sometime. Mom, I'll show you right where it happened. I never forget that instruction. And I never forget. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles, I always say that. Can you imagine coming to church without a Bible? I can't imagine that. I can't imagine coming to church without a Bible. It's like, and we've said about 1,000 times, like falling in the military without your rifle and so on. All right, look at your Bible, and let's go to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I was reading here along not long back, and this is going to be not anything new, of course, that you're going to hear about today. But I never saw this before, and that's not new either. There's a lot of things that I don't see as time goes by as I study this book. And I was reading down through here, and if you turn your Bible to Matthew 27 and look at verse 26, Matthew, and we begin right there. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers, now if you watch down through here, you're going to find what we're going to read here in these few verses. You're going to find something like 18 references to the soldiers. Now, if you read them all that are in this chapter, you got about 21 references to the soldiers. There's a reason for that. And I don't think God does anything haphazard or just, you know, I think that every word, every comma, everything in there is there for a purpose. All right, now let's go ahead. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered to him the whole band of soldiers. Now, notice there you got the soldiers. See there how he references to them there two times. He mentions there in verse 7. Now, each time down through there, what we're fixing to read, you're going to find the they that are talking about the soldiers. You understand? You can find this if you was to read and follow along. All right. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put on him, put upon his head, and they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the crown off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Now, you see all the references? See what I'm talking about there? And you've, like I said, it ain't nothing new. You've heard this before. But the thing of it is that the Lord wanted you and me to know something about this. Those men, when they got done doing what they were doing, they sat down to watch the end. They sat down there, they're going to watch him. Now, they saw a lot of things that day. These soldiers saw things they had never seen before. Not that they had never seen a crucifixion, but they'd never seen anybody like this. Now, can you just take it for a few minutes? You find that Jesus Christ, look at your Bible over in the book of, if you want to follow along with us, in this you go to the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 53, a clear picture of what we're talking about here. The Bible says, in the book of Isaiah 53:4, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." Now, there's one of the things I guarantee they saw. Now, you see just in a few minutes before this, what we just got through reading, you're going to find in this that if you was to look over in the book of Luke, chapter 23, Luke chapter 23, you're going to find a difference here. You find that both these men were mocking at one time. This is not, like I said, this is the old story we're going to tell this morning. And I love it. I'd love to hear the gospel. I just love to hear the gospel. I never get tired of it. Been saved for 57 years, and I never get tired of hearing the gospel. And so that's what we're doing this morning. Now, go get your Bible here in the book of Luke chapter 23. Now, here's something that them soldiers saw. They saw the blasphemy coming from the chief priest and all these priests and the Sadducees and the scribes and all the religious leaders. They did. But yet Jesus Christ never once opened his mouth to retaliate or to get back at them. Not one time. Isn't that amazing? Now, he'd shut them up many a time. If you read through your Bible, you're going to find that he had shut their mouths many a time. You remember that? And you could find those places in there. And I mean, he rebuked them. He called them hypocrites and so on and so forth. And we'll not get to that. You want to read that? It's Matthew chapter 23. But over here in the book of Luke chapter 23, the Bible tells us some things here about that they heard. Now watch this in verse 34. Now they had taken Jesus. Notice, now let's back up to verse 32. The Bible says there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, as far as I know, it's the only place in the whole King James Bible is found. Calvary. That's all I know. I think that's right. Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactor, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Well, it's kind of unusual. You talk about Calvary, got Calvary Baptist Church over in Tennessee, Calvary. And we sang songs about Calvary, and it's the only place it's found, and they take it out in the New Bibles. That bunch of dirty crooks. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so you look in the Bible, and here's something that they heard. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? I guarantee that them soldiers never heard anything like that before. Can you imagine that? They're the one. Now listen, as I made mention a while ago over him in the book of Matthew, how that Matthew 27, how that they watched him. They had watched, and it was them who had nailed him to that cross. You understand that? They're the executioners. And yet Jesus, one of the first things out of his mouth was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Glory to God. Hey, if you study a little bit farther in your King James Bible, do you realize that Jesus had his prayers answered in the Bible? For sure. Right in there when Peter began to preach over there in the book of Acts, the Bible says there were something like right at 3,000 souls were saved. Isn't that something? And if you're saved today by the grace of God, you're saved because Jesus, your intercessor, is the one who took care of that. Now listen to your Bible, and we'll go back over there in the book of John. We'll just kind of zip around this morning a little ways. Look at John. Yeah, here it is. In John chapter 17, Jesus, there's the prayer of Jesus. The Bible says in verse 16, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." You got a King James Bible, you got the truth. Look at verse 18. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Talking about his disciples. Now watch verse 19. And he said, "And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone," talking about the disciples, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Who's that? That's you. that you are saved. You said, well, nobody cares for my soul. Jesus Christ cared for your soul. And he was nailed up there with those, with them bunch of crooks, right? And the Bible says over here in the book of Isaiah, I just happen to have my hand there. I'll read it to you. In the 12th verse, the last verse of that 23rd chapter of Isaiah, he says this. And he said he made, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Hey, the Bible makes it very plain that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. What a Savior. He's our mediator. So what them soldiers see? They saw, my friend, they saw one who was like no other. And they seen him and heard him. They heard him. They were sitting down watching him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. By the way, I have somewhere in here wrote down the sayings of... Here, right here it is. Oh, thank you, Lord. Jesus said there, listen to all these things that religious cloud heard this. It didn't bother them the least. And it may be you. I pray to God, ain't nobody listening to this message this morning that'll say, well, I don't care. I'm just looking to get out here at noon. All right. And that's there you go. That's the religious crowd. You know what religion did for you? It ain't going to get you nothing but hell. That's all. All right. Look at your Bible. If you want to follow along with us, I'll give you some of these. And Jesus said this in the book of Matthew, or Luke chapter 23, verse 34. I done read that. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. Also, Jesus said in Luke chapter 23, he told that one thief there, he says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Remember that one? Also, they heard that. In the book of John chapter 19, verse 25 and 26, he said, woman, behold thy son. He said, son, behold thy mother. And Jesus, by the way, for you all know this, and I'll just emphasize it again. Jesus never one time ever in the Bible called his mother, mother. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. If you'll study your Bible, according to the book of Jeremiah, there was folks above there that was baking wafers to the queen of heaven. That's what, there's a certain church that does that. Yes, yes. And they worship Mary as the, I see the word in my mind, but how to pronounce it, intermediatrix, kind of an intercessor between me and Jesus. Are you kidding? I don't need no intercessor between me and Jesus. I go straight to him. Because that veil has been rent, I can go directly into the Holy of Holies. And he bids me come. Yeah, he does. All right. So he said, woman, behold thy son. Another thing they heard was, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That found in Matthew 27:46. In the book of John, in 19:28, he said, I thirst. That's in your King James Bible. And they heard that. And they also heard, my dear friend, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and it is finished. And son, when it's finished, it's finished. There's nothing to add to it. There's nothing you can take away from it. It's all been fixed, and it's fixed. I'm fixed. I'm fixed up because of that. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ, he laid down his life. It wasn't taken from him. You say, well, that's what I've always heard. You look at your Bible, you're going to find in the book of Matthew, like I said, we're just going to jump from one place to another this morning. I hope you get something between one of these jumps. And let me show you how that I know that they did not take his life from him, and I'll prove it from the scripture. You said, rah, 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 all right. Read your Bible. All right, Matthew, look at Matthew chapter 27, look at verse 46. Here's what it says, Matthew 27, 46. Oh, that ain't the one. That ain't the one. Oh, yes, it is, too. The Bible says, where is that verse? Where he says that no man take, I'm going to just quote at it. I'm sorry. He said, no man take it from me, but I lay it down. Right? No man takes his life. He said, I lay it down. All right? All right, everybody got that. Now then, I'll prove to you from the scripture that Jesus Christ, they did not take his life. You said, how are you going to do that? Well, read Matthew chapter. Well, that's where I was going, but I jumped ahead of myself. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 verse 46. All right. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with what kind of voice? Loud voice. Now, are you getting the picture? All right, good. Thank you. All right. With a loud voice. And he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway, just hang on a minute, I'll show you some more here. The word will, I ain't going to show you the other, but the book will. And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave it to him. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Now watch carefully. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, what did he do? Yielded up the ghost. Do you realize, my dear friend, he had full function. Even, you understand what I'm saying now? I know he was God-man. I know he was God manifest in the flesh. Right, right. And I understand this body, and I understand some of the blood draining from him. But my dear friend, there's two times in this scripture right here, in a space of time, the very moments before that he laid down his life, that he cried with a loud voice. You got it? Everybody got it? Good, good. We'll go on then. All right. Jesus began his ministry in prayer. If you go over there in your Bible, in the book of Luke, you'll find where that he was baptized and praying. You'll find then, as you study through the scriptures, what we've just read here. He cried out to the Father, and so on and so forth. My dear friend, he began his ministry with prayer, and my dear friend, he finished it with prayer. That's a good one for us. Amen. I told Mom the other day, I said, Mama, we'll just go till we wire out, and then we'll just sit down and pray for people. We can do that. We can't get out of the house. We can't do nothing but a wheelchair being rolled around. That'll be fine. We'll just go out praying for you all up here, and others. Amen. Amen. Pray for our missionaries. He prayed. Well, glory to God. All right. Now then, so we find here that as these soldiers kept watching and watching and watching, they're going to have to come to some kind of conclusion. I mean, the gospel being presented to you and me, I come to a conclusion, one of them, that if I didn't trust Jesus my Savior, I'm going to burn in hell forever and forever and forever and forever. Amen. I did. And I knew that Jesus died for me, paid my sin debt on the cross. It tells us there in your Bible that is true. Amen. And I knew that if I didn't do something about it, now you understand when I say I do something, it's all of the Lord. Understand that? You know what I mean. I didn't work my way or do, turn over a new leaf. I come as a sinner to Jesus and he saved my soul. And that's why I'm here today. 57 years ago, he saved my soul. So you're going to have to come to some kind of a conclusion. Well, the religious crowd did. They mocked him and mocked him. They did. They didn't change their minds. Some of them smote upon their breasts and went to the house. That Bible's got that in there. But my dear friend, that religious crowd continued right on. And it wasn't many years, so they crucified them all over the hillside and everything else. I've been doing some study on that. I did not realize that as the army come in and besieged Jerusalem, that it took so long and so much went on. I did not realize it. I'll be honest with you. I didn't. I mean, month after month after month after month of seizing of that city and so on. And they would make their attack, and it's unbelievable. And man, when they finally went in there, when that enemy finally went in there, son, they were mad, and they dug that thing up and they crucified them over. We'll not get into all that, but it was quite a deal. But as far as I know, none of them, thank God, I hope some of them did, really believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But what are you going to do about it? What about you? What about you? You said, I've already been saved. Good. It's good to be challenged, ain't it? I mean, I don't mind anybody asking me. He said, preacher, have you been saved? You think, why would that offend me? Well, first of all, if I was living crooked and not right, I'd want to know why they would ask me. right? But if it's just not, you know, just right off the bat, somebody, I've told you about this, and this rare. We're going down through Arkansas one day. I stopped to get gas, and a fella come right around in his truck, come up to me with the track, and asked me point blank if I was saved. Well, I'd like to shout it out right there. You know, I mean, that's wonderful. He said, I don't want nobody asking me, why, do you have anything? Maybe you ain't got nothing. And maybe somebody's thinking that because of the way you act, the way you talk, and the way you carry on, that you can't be, and so you take for granted you need a Savior. And maybe that is the case. All right. Enough of that. All right, let's go on. So now then we see that a decision had to be made. A decision had to be made. The soldier's going to make the decision. He said, really, is that in the Bible? Yeah, look at your Bible. Now, I want to say something here, and you've heard this before. When these soldiers said what they said, now I want you to realize something here. These are the ones that were carrying out the execution. Do you get that? Under authority, they were given this authority. I mean, it was a command under the government to do what they were doing. All right, now watch what, look to the conclusion they come to. And they made it publicly. All right, look at your Bible right there. Look at Matthew 27. Here's one. Now, the Bible said in verse 24, now when the centurion, there's the one that was leader of the soldiers. Now, remember, in this verse, in this chapter, we found a reference of about 17 or 18 references. Then you get on to this part right here, you add that on, you got about 12 or 13 verses, you got 21 references to these soldiers. God trying to get something over to us. All right, now here's what it is. Now, a conclusion had to be made. Now, what are you going to do about Jesus? Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, okay, who's that? Well, go back over to verse 36 and you see, and sitting down, they watched him there. That's talking about the soldiers. They all come to the same conclusion. Have you come to that conclusion yet? You say, what is it? Well, we'll read it to you. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly. There's the beginning of wisdom. Truly, notice your King James Bible, I like the way God does things. You say, what about that truly? Notice it's got a capital letter on it. You said right in the middle of a sentence, that ain't the way we do English. That's the way God does his, whether you like it or not. You say you're a smart aleck. Yeah. All right. Truly, this was the Son of God. Do you realize what they just said? Do you realize it? They confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We just killed him. You say, well, that ain't all. No, it ain't all. If you look over in your Bible, go over there to the book of Luke. Luke 23. You say, well, look, we've heard these things 50 times. I like it one more time. Now, watch what he had to say. All right, they've already confessed. They confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Now, watch what they do right here. Now, you talk about putting your head on the chop block. As far as military is concerned, as far as the strictness of the rule of law back in those days, I mean, now you get away with anything. But even in our country and in our military, you wouldn't have got away with what these men did. And I doubt, sis, if they did. I'm just being honest with you. All right, look what it says in the book of Luke. Verse chapter 23 and verse 47. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he'd heard all that I've been talking about, read all those things there. There's about seven of them or so. He'd heard all that. He'd come to a conclusion. And that and Jesus made it very clear in the Bible that he opened not his mouth. He wasn't an accuser. He didn't blaspheme. He didn't carry on and didn't threaten nobody. They never saw nothing like that. And here's what they said. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly. Now notice your King James Bible done it again. Capitalized certainly. Just like he did truly. You say, why? Well, that's, you can figure it out. Certainly, this was a righteous man. You know why he just got through saying? We just got through crucifying a man, and he's dead. That was the Son of God, and he was perfect. He was a righteous man. That's what he just got through saying. We crucified somebody that didn't need to be crucified. That's what he's saying. So you say, what does it take to follow Jesus? You may have put your neck on the line. You know, you really may. You really may. I was talking to folks the other night in the message somewhere and made mention about that. I said, well, you know, a guillotine, they figured, if you want to study about a guillotine, you can. That's your business. So I looked it up. I was studying about a guillotine, the old guillotine. I think he was one of the first that got his head chopped off with it. But anyway, we'll not deal with that either. And old guillotine, what they were doing, they was trying to figure out a way to execute people with the least pain. And a guillotine was the way it went. That's what they said. When you come down and you cut that head off just like that, some pain's gone. So I thought, well, what about if you're shot at a post somewhere? Maybe they line you up and going to machine gun you down. What would that be like? Well, come across a fellow that's been shot before. So I asked him. I said, what does it feel like to be shot? You said, well, that ain't none of your business. Well, he could have told me that, but he told me what it felt like. So I know. You said, what does it feel like? He said, well, when that bullet hits you, it the first thing that you feel, besides the pressure, is heat. It's hot. You'll feel a burning. And he said, it takes a good while before pain even comes. So if they line me up and they take a good aim, I'm going to tell them, but now don't you miss, bud. And I'll draft to draw me a big old heart. And you say, well, what's that mean? That means you won't feel anything. Amen. Well, it could be worse than that. It could be you've read Fox's Book of Martyrs and all those books. If you ain't, you ought to. But God will give you grace anytime. So these men here, there ain't no doubt. It doesn't tell anywhere in the Bible anything that I'm telling you as far as what happened to the centurion and those soldiers. I don't know. God left that. That's his business. But to confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God before all that religious crew, what would CBS and ABC and NBC and Fox and all the rest of them do with that kind of a testimony about Jesus? They'd die of the stroke on the spot. Well, that's about the same kind of situation it was back there. MSNBC was right there. All right. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. Now then, just for a few minutes, go to the book, back to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we'll find these men. You said, man, we've heard about them 50 times. Well, here's 51. You remember there on the cross, Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. There was one on this side. There was another on that side. Both of these men were mocking and carrying on, blaspheming God, blaspheming Jesus, all that. But one of these men had a change of heart. One. And you know that Jesus Christ, the Bible said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Isn't it an amazing thing that the last thing he saw, it was that he saw this thief by his side, believe on him, And he said, today thou be with me in paradise. Isn't that a wonderful way to go? Isn't that something? The very thing Jesus come to live for and to die for, he saw it in that mocking thief that changed his heart. You understand what I mean by that? All right, now look at your Bible in the book of Luke again, Matthew and Luke, not Matthew, Kenneth. Luke 20:23. All right. Now notice what they're saying. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar. See, these soldiers, my dear friend, carried this thing on all the way through to the end. Read your Bible, you'll get your timeline all lined up there. They mocked till it was over. But man, when that thing all was finished. And here's one of the things that moved them, ain't no doubt. All right, it's saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. That's and so on. And a superscription also is written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Now listen carefully. Those soldiers had heard all that he said. They also heard some other things. I'm gonna go to that right now. You can hold your place there if you want to. If you want to follow along with what I'm fixing to read, that's fine. In the book of Matthew, I'm going to tell you what they heard. Now listen carefully. Not only from Jesus, but there's something about a soldier I learned in the 6 years of Uncle Sam Army Guard. A soldier, in your training, you learn to spot a crook a lot easier. You can. And religion, I hated religion, and I didn't even know what it was when I was a kid growing up. I could not stand that pomp and circumstance stuff. But anyway, all right. Now listen to what these men heard. Now watch carefully what I'm fixing to do. All right, you go back to Matthew if you want to. In your Bible, and you're going to see this. Notice that they put over his head that sign. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Those soldiers saw that and all that, right? Not only that, the thieves saw that too, right? I mean, they could look around there. One of them looking at him, ain't no doubt. All right. Both of them were. And saying, thou that destroys the temple building in 3 days, come down. If thou be, watch carefully now, what the religious bunch saying, if thou be the Son of God. That put a question in their mind. Ooh. Now, if you study, you know that from what all we've already read. He backed up. He backed up by his life, by his speech, by his action on the cross, in his dying hours, that there was something different about him than anybody else. Right? Right. Now watch. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. If thou be the Son of God? Could this man be the Son of God? It wasn't long till they confessed it. Now that thief there is hearing all this too, so we'll get to him in just a second and we'll quit. All right, now watch this next thing. Look at verse 42. Another thing. He saved others. You said, what are they doing? They're testifying, mocking, and testifying at the same time. Yes. It's just according to whose mouth it comes out of. Amen. Amen. And this bunch of soldiers and these thieves, my dear friend, watching him die. The soldier watching him die and the thieves watching him die, there are going to have to be some decisions made. All right, now watch. Again, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the, watch this one, King of Israel. See that one? What did that, and we'll get to it right now just well as to, what did that thief say to Jesus? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Aha! Isn't that amazing? You say, what did he do? The mocking turned into a testimony as far as that thief was concerned. And the soldiers. They'd spot a hypocrite a mile off. And I can tell you one thing, my dear friend, those two poor old thieves hanging there, they could spot them. One had to make a decision. Both of them had to make a decision. One of them did for the good and one of them for the bad. You understand that, saved and lost. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Now that's exactly what that one thief was saying over there and so on. You remember him? Both of them were saying this to start with. You find that right here. All right, now watch. He trusted in God. You know what his last words? Father. He called God Father, but they'd also heard him say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And them old soldiers, no doubt it went through their heart like a spear, said, oh, for me. And that old one old thing, his decision was made for me. Well, glory to God. I'll shut up. All right. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. But let's end right here. Now go back, if you're following along with us. They also saw the track. I preached a whole message one time on the first track in the Bible, and that was this one right here. This is the King of the Jews. He said, track. Yeah, they had this board. They wrote it on there in Greek and Hebrew and so on, Latin, and put it on there and nailed it up there. And it said, this is the King of the Jews. And that thief believed it. And those soldiers that crucified him believed it. That centurion believed it. And how about you? Do you believe it? It'll change if you do. It'll change you. Now watch this. And one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. Now see, it goes right back to Matthew 27 and 44. That's what they were saying. Now look at verse 40. Here's a little conjunction in the road. Here's a junction in the road. And this one thief fixing to go the right way. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God? Hey, there's the question. There's the it. Fear God. Fear God, fear God. That's what he's doing. Something he'd saw, he'd heard, and my dear friend, he began to fear. Now, do you realize now watch. Dost thou not fear God? He didn't say, aren't you afraid to die? I'm scared to death to die. No, fear God. It ain't going to be long. Everything will be all right. Watch it. All right, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answer, no. Dost thou fear God? There in verse 40. Seeing thou in the same condemnation, you and I are going to die. And notice what he says this. It's your pure repentance. And we indeed justly, we're getting what we deserve. That's what they said. For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. Oh, he confessed, just like the soldiers were fixing to later on. Do you realize them soldiers also heard this? He said, how do you know? They were sitting and watching. I just read that in Matthew 27. Do you see what I mean? What a picture here. All right. He said unto Jesus, Lord. There you go. I did it. Oh, they make such a play down these days. I had one preacher tell me, said, well, that Lord was just what that means is that they even call the masters Lord. But you find your King James Bible, son, you got a little L places. This book is always right. The Lord Jesus Christ. Look that up through the scriptures. I got it wrote down somewhere how many times. Just for the fun of it, I may look and see if I can find it. Lord, in the book of Acts, the Lord Jesus found 13 times. The Lord Jesus Christ found 6 times. Lord is found 92 times. Lord Jesus found 13 times, and so on in your New Testament, and so on, and also filled in the book of Acts. The Lord. I had to realize that he was the Lord Jesus Christ, for I've bowed my knee. Hallelujah. And I knew I was headed for hell. Do you know that? If you do, Jesus says, come unto me. Come. And I won't keep you all day, but you're going to find when Jesus died, my dear friend, that veil of that temple was rent from the top to the bottom. The holiest of all, my dear friend, was wide open, and he bid you come. Amen. You said, how can I come? Just as you are, a sinner. Don't turn over new leaves. Don't try to stop this and start this. Come as a sinner. Turning your back on everything, but turning your eyes upon Jesus. Just like this thief did. Watch what he said. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You said, well, that's all the way down the road. Yeah, but he believed what Jesus had come to set up. All right, and Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. You say, what if I die today? I'm going to be with the Lord. You said, really, how do you know that? Because Paul said, absent from the body is present with the Lord. That's what he said. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's what Paul said. You said, you know where you're going? Yes, I know where I'm going. And it ain't back to Arkansas tonight. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm going to heaven when I die. The old black song says, you know, I'm going to go to heaven when I die just to hear old Jordan roll. Well, I don't know about all that stuff, but there's going to be a river up there. We're going to be able to get a river. That river, man, flowing out. That's going to be good, ain't it? Now you say, what are you going to do about it? I'm just going to enjoy it, watch it. I am. Say, what about that tree of life? I don't have to worry about that. I got it now. You say, that's too deep for me. It's deep. You study your Bible. You'll come up with it. It's all in there. It's all in there. Just give you something to study on. And I don't have to eat the tree of life. Somebody's going to have to. I don't. You said, how do you know all that stuff? Well, just read your King James Bible. It all just fan out. Just come out. And what a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. So, well, I've got any other verses here. I wrote a bunch of stuff down. And I can say this as I'm closing. Pilate, dealing with Jesus, he said, I find no fault in him. Pilate's wife said, I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. She said to Pilate, her husband said, have nothing to do with this just man. Just man. Judas said, taken out of all the Bibles, this little word is. Judas said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. There but one. That's the. That's why he put it in there. That's why it's in your King James Bible. Not in the rest of them, but it's in the King James Bible. Because that's the only innocent blood. You say, what kind of blood is it? Well, that'd be another message. But you go to your Bible in the book of Acts, it's God's blood. Hallelujah. Amen. And you're going to find that, of course, the centurion and the soldier said, truly, this was the Son of God. And they said this was a righteous man. Well, praise the Lord. So have you heard this morning? I don't know how you recognize him. I hope a few of these few things, you say, oh, yeah, I see. I hope so. And that you'll see him. And it's a wonderful thing to see him as my Lord and Savior. The longer I live, the more that I find how much better that life is when I submit to his lordship. You say, what's that? Not my will, thine be done. Bow that knee to him daily. Not my will, his. Not mine, his. Not mine, will. That makes us humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God use anybody. He really will. If you humble yourself, humble yourself, humble, humble, humble. So I just can't see far down the road. I don't see far down the road either. God, the Bible talks about it being one step. Steps, 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 steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. Steps. Not miles. Not a quarter. Not even an eighth. Steps. And if the path is narrow, narrow is the way. Narrow is like a cow path. That's right. It ain't a broad road. It's a cow path. There's just room for you and the Lord. You follow close with him. I'll tell this illustration because it really happened. I don't like to tell stories of date to them. The other day, a young lady was talking to us, wife and I. And you all know this without me telling you. Boy, it's hard these days to find a young man is actually looking for a young lady. And she said, and she's in her early 20s, she said, would you like for you to pray? And said, I want to know what the will of the Lord is. I said, I'm waiting on the Lord. And she said, I'm just kind of getting shaky. I said, well, Bible said in the book of Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and so on. They would mount up the wings as eagles. And I got to thinking about that. Just a flash. Lord, give it to me. And you say, well, I've known that for 100 years. Well, that's fine. But I'm slow. I ain't like you all. And I got to thinking. I said, eagles. Their eyesight is 4 to 8 times better than yours and mine. And they get up there. They say how many. They could read the headlines of a newspaper of something like a mile. It's unbelievable. I said, well, if you wait on the Lord, be up there like that eagle, and you'll have a good vision. You'll have a good sight of the path. And so on. And so I got on my phone. You know how these phones are. And I looked up an eagle in flight. You said, they got him on there? Look it up. They mounted a deal on his back. Yes. And he's flying. And you know, you can see his head turn. And he's sailing over mountains and sailing over. And here's a man standing there. That old eagle, you can see when he sees that man, how he picks up. And so is it. I sent it to her. She said, wow. She said, thank you. She said, I love you and Brother Mac. You and Sister Mac. It ain't us. It's this wonderful book. It's this book. That's my mother. She's already gone. They won't give me physical light, but this one here is with me. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for the good time this morning. Lord, I pray that somebody got something out of this. I know we was jumping from here to there, but I pray, God, that something encourages us on the way. And Lord, maybe somebody here today never really trusted you as their Savior. And Lord, if they get by what took place there on Calvary, they'll see themselves as a sinner. And Lord, if they'll cry to you, oh Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. Lord, there's no place in the Bible that gives us a certain prayer. None of that. But Lord, I find in there, believe in thy heart. I pray, Lord, that somebody here would believe in their heart the simple gospel that you died for them, was buried for them, and rose again for them and be born again. Thank you, Lord, and a Christian here today that they might be renewed, God, and look back upon the cross and think about what you've done for them and doing for them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.